Lindsey Buckingham was the guitarist and a principal songwriter for the British-American rock group Fleetwood Mac. Their 1977 album, Rumours, was number one on the American Albums charts for 31 weeks, and it reached the top spot in many other countries. To date, it has sold over 40 million copies worldwide, making it the ninth highest-selling album of all time. In recent years, Mr. Buckingham has struck out on his own as a solo artist, and his latest recording, Seeds We Sow, is a true solo exercise. He produced, engineered, wrote, and recorded almost all the entire record himself. Last week, Seeds We Sow broke into the Billboard 200, and I'm very pleased it has brought Lindsey Buckingham to our show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Now, a new generation of listeners might know you best as part of an inside joke on Saturday Night Live.
That's right.
Yeah. Bill Hader plays you as a guest on a music talk show with a host who's too self-obsessed to allow you to speak, even though you're the only person who ever is a guest on the show.
That's right, yes. Believe me, that resonates.
That's happened to you.
Well, yes. Yeah, there have been a few times where I haven't particularly felt heard, but, you know, that's part of doing what I do.
Do you have any idea why they decided to make it you?
I do not. I have to assume someone on the show was a fan or something. But you know, when I first heard about it, my reaction was, gee, that's kind of obscure. And certainly took it as a compliment.
Well, it later led you to do a cameo, didn't it?
That's right. Yes, we called Lorne Michaels and asked if he'd like me to do a walk-on, and he said, of course. And so that led to that particular sketch. That was a lot of fun.
I've always wondered what it's like to be standing next to the person who plays you.
Well, I don't think it happens too often. it was a little eerie because Bill Hader seemed to have me down pretty well, and he had Fleetwood Mac was on the road last year. He had my outfit from that tour. It was pretty funny.
In fact, I felt uncomfortable saying you were the guitarist and principal songwriter for Fleetwood Mac because Fleetwood Mac seems to be a group that goes on hiatus a lot, but never really disbands?
No, that's true. We are not ever officially broken up in any way. I did leave the band for a while in the late 80s when it really was just getting nuts, but, you know, returned in 92 when we did that thing for Clinton and have been there ever since.
It was getting kind of nuts because...
Well, you know...
I wonder how any group... how a baseball team doesn't wind up because you know you have a whole bunch of different people who come out of different backgrounds. They agree on one or two things, but they probably disagree on a lot more.
And in our case, I think that was even more pronounced. We really were not a group of people who belonged in the same band together, but it was the synergy that came from that made it interesting. And no, you know, by the late 80s, it was just the lifestyle choices that were being made, and that was not uncommon. That was just a kind of a subculture that existed in the 70s and 80s.
But is that also a reason that you might enjoy making solo albums because you don't have to go through all of the compromises and adjustments that
now,
a lot of people with strong egos.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but it's like having a big machine and a small machine. You've got this brand name, and there are certain confines that go with that and certain expectations to uphold the brand, if you will. And then you've got the small machine where you can continue to take risks and continue to follow your heart and hopefully aspire to be an artist in the long term.
Well, when you're writing songs, do you ever think I'm writing a Fleetwood Mac song here, or do they always come out of the same place and some just wind up with Fleetwood Mac, some on their own stuff?
Yeah, it really is just what's happening next, you know. I mean, Fleetwood Mac may go in next year and make an album. I'm not sure when that will happen, but no, it's really just what is in front of you, and they do come from the same place.
The Seeds We Sow is your sixth solo album since 1981.
That's right.
Which would suggest that you work slow, but you've had three within the last 5 years, so you've been picking up the pace.
Yes, I have been picking up the pace. A few years back, about 5 years ago, I had to say to Fleetwood Mac, don't bother me for a couple of years, because I want to do these two projects back to back, which I did. And Seeds We Sow was not really an album I was planning on making. As I say, Fleetwood Mac had gotten off the road last year, and we just the time opened up, so of course I filled it. But yes, there has been a stepped up frequency, because in years previous there were many intentions to make solo albums that eventually got folded over into Fleetwood Mac. But you know, that's just part of being a team player.
Have you always composed, or were you a guitarist first and then started writing songs out of self-defense?
Writing, well, I don't even think of myself as a writer. I think of myself more as a stylist, I guess.
But you've written...
kind of a refined, primitive...
huge hits.
Yeah, but the writing came last. You know, I started playing guitar when my older brother brought home Heartbreak Hotel. So, you know, I was six. And I taught myself, and I really was just a fan and a player, and I really didn't start to write until there was an opportunity to define myself as that, which was when Stevie and I were singled out of a band that we were in up in the Bay Area in California, and we suddenly had an opportunity to be a duo and to maybe get a deal, and so I said, well, I better start writing. She was already a writer at that time.
And Frozen Love came out of that.
That's right,
that was
yes.
Pretty
Ooh,
big
hit. Your homework, yes.
Well, I remember Frozen Love. I'm old enough.
That was 7 minutes, yes, yeah.
But and that led you to join Fleetwood
yes,
Mac in
yes.
some way?
Yes, we had that one album as a duo, and it really did not do well commercially, and we were kind of languishing. We were getting ready to do another, even though we didn't have the deal. And then Mick Fleetwood actually heard the song Frozen Love and heard the guitar playing, and I guess he knew that their guitarist Bob Welch at that time was going to leave, and he called and asked me to join. And I said, well, if you take me, you got to take my girlfriend.
He didn't regret that.
No, I think it worked out all right.
But this was a rarity. There had been other British-American groups, Jimi Hendrix, for example.
Sure, yeah.
But how common was that?
Well, I don't think it was that common because, you know, the whole British invasion that had happened in the early 60s was very succinct and had seemed to have boundaries around it. And it was clearly a hybrid between a California sensibility and a British sensibility, you know. But you also have to realize that Fleetwood Mac had started off as a 12-bar blues band, sort of progressed into a kind of an experimental phase with Peter Green, and then had gone through any number of style changes in the interim before they found Stevie and me. So, you know, they were ready for something new.
In fact, the only thing that remained consistent was the name of the group. And even that is kind of weird because
yes,
the Mac part of the group was named after John McVie,
that's
who never
right.
played with the group.
Well, John and Mick are the rhythm section, but they you know, certainly are not the creative force behind the group. They're only the one constant.
On this album, we have songs like Stars Are Crazy, Seeds We Sow, and Rockaway Blind, kind of soulful acoustic songs with your signature finger-pick sound. But then there are other songs that are heavy on the electronics and sound much more heavily produced. Was that sort of back and forth between electric and acoustic music something that you knew you wanted to do from the start?
Well, no. I mean, only in the sense that I think it's important to include certain songs that are in the finger style and where one guitar is doing pretty much the work of a whole track. You still apply production values over that. But I really had no concept of where this album was going, again, because I was not planning on making it. And in a way, I think it turned out awfully well because there was no sense of control over where it was going, and the work kind of led me in a direction, and it was kind of exciting because of that.
Do you play most of the instruments on this album?
I do, yeah.
Not drums, I imagine.
Well, not drums, no, but most of the drums on here are from GarageBand, so, you know... Electronic drums.
Garage bands.
Yes.
Has allowed an awful lot of people to make records without having to go to the garage. Lindsey Buckingham's Seeds We Sow is now out on Mind Kit Records, and we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. You can go your own way.
Go your own way.
We're back with Lindsay Buckingham, whose latest album is Seeds We Sow. It's on Mindkick Records, which is, I guess, your label. And last week, it broke into the Billboard 200 at number 24. You told me during the break that you don't pay much attention to that sort of thing. But this is your own label. I suspect that is a concern.
Well, yes and no. You know, I mean, during all those years of that kind of success in Fleetwood Mac, I didn't pay too much attention to it. And, you know, because these projects are small, I don't have any particular preconception about an outcome commercially. And so it's one of the things that's low on my list to pay attention to, for sure.
But the record business has changed so much anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, it has.
Does it really? I mean, do people actually sell records in stores anymore?
Well, if you can find a store, you might be able to buy a record. But, you know, that's part of the problem is, you know, part of it is things get bootlegged. But part of, you know, people are buying online. It's just a – and the, really the model of the large company is a bit broken. You know, back in the day when – we were signed. Mo Austin, who was the head of the label, had so much autonomy, and really, without him, Fleetwood Mac never would have made it to be, you know, to find us, and they would have been off the label long before. But you know, now everyone has to answer to somebody else. It's a kind of a boardroom mentality.
Well, on the in the old days, it was also important for the record company to get behind you, and they could actually force record stores to carry certain records if they thought that they were going to be important.
Right.
Nobody has that clout anymore.
No.
Everybody's
no.
on his own.
That's true. And as you say, the nurture part of it, that relationship that is way diminished right now.
Now, haven't you been sowing your own seeds recently? You are married and have a couple of kids. You waited a while before doing that.
I did, yes. You know, I saw in decades past many of my friends who were spouses or parents or both not really be there for their families.
And because touring takes up so much
of
your time.
Well, it wasn't really just touring, because I think there's a way to allot your time. It's really more about the person you are when you're home. And, you know, again, you get back to that subculture that we all lived in, and doing things we thought we had to do in order to be, quote, artists, which turns out to be a load of bunk, you know. So anyway, I did not want to be one of those people who, you know, was not there for their family. I had a great upbringing, so I held off.
You waited until you cut off all the glamour hair? Is that what happened?
Exactly, yes. And until I got to a point where all that garbage was out of the way. And, you know, by then, probably the likelihood of me finding someone with whom I could connect and make that happen was a bit diminished as well. But I was lucky enough to meet my wife, and we have three beautiful children now. And hopefully we haven't screwed them up yet.
And your oldest is a teenager.
He just
turned
13.
Any interest in music?
Well, he loves music, and he is an avid listener and has quite sophisticated taste, I would say. I think, you know, his sense about the guitar is, well, you know, Dad does that. I don't try to push anything on any of them. And I think all three of them really have a healthy kind of let's just say ambivalence about the business, because, you know, they've seen me. Oh, there's Dad showing off on stage again, you know. So I think they have a good attitude about the business in general.
What about your side, knowing what some of the negatives about the business and wondering and hoping that your kids don't do some of the things that you did?
Well, you know, the place that I am at creatively is such that I am not overly visible. I'm not, quote, a celebrity. And I wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want my family to have to deal with that kind of visibility. So I am very happy with the place I'm at now. If they do somehow gravitate towards music, at least it will be for the right reasons.
You say you're no longer a celebrity. People see the name Lindsay Buckingham, know right away who you are.
Well, but I can walk down the street and nobody really bothers me. Once in a while someone will come up. But, you know, it's about the level. It's at a very small level, and I think that's a healthy place to be.
How does that apply to touring? You're going to tour this album, aren't you?
Well, I am on tour right now, yeah.
Which is a little different than doing a Fleetwood Mac tour.
Just a little. I mean, but again, you have to look at what it has to offer. I mean, you play Fleetwood Mac tours, you're playing in arenas. Certainly it's paying the bills. You know, this kind of a tour is not really paying the bills, but you're getting to play for, you know, 1,500 people, 1,000 people. It's a more intimate thing. The whole construction of the set is a little bit more brainy in a way. It's the way we put things together is different. It's just great to have both. It really is.
And you can put together a band that works well with your music.
Yes, and we all want the same things. There's no particular political element to deal with at all, you know.
How much of that is a problem in a group where you have so many strong egos and opinions?
Well, it has been over the years with Fleetwood Mac, but, you know, you also have to remember that we were part of our appeal back then was the fact that we were two couples who had broken up, and I think we were bringing out the voyeur in everyone, you know. I mean, thank God it isn't the kind of tabloid mentality that we would have gotten eaten alive. But, you know, I think that that made it that much more difficult, and it's continued to make it bittersweet in some ways, you know.
So now you're going to be touring, rumors have it, with Fleetwood Mac again next year?
You know, there is nothing on the books yet for next year.
But what would that even mean? Who would be in a Fleetwood Mac group today?
Who would be in a Fleetwood Mac group?
Yeah, well, I know. I think Mick Fleetwood.
Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, as always, Stevie Nicks, and Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah. That's the same group that there has been for the last 10 years.
And now that you've all grown up, I suspect you don't go through the same kinds of notorious fights and hassles that
no,
you had.
No, we don't
past.
Go through the same kind of fights, but, you know, by the same token, I think we're all still on that quest to become adults, whatever that means.
There are also there's also been some speculation about plans to release Buckingham Nicks recordings, which are only available as bootlegs.
That's true. That, you know, you would have thought that somehow Stevie and I would have gotten it together to make that happen years ago, but it's the victim of inertia. But Stevie and I have been talking about doing something too down the line, you know. Mm. All of these things will happen soon, but I don't know when.
And meanwhile, I'm assuming you're writing more songs and thinking about what you might do in the future?
Well, you know, I mean, there's always stuff floating over your head. If your antenna's up and you catch it, then you're writing. It's all out there in the ether. So, yeah, I mean, there's some pieces out there, but I haven't really applied it to anything right now.
Well, what gets a song started? Is it a phrase or some kind of a
That's
of
a
notes?
Very, very good question. It's quite mysterious, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it really is something that seems to be passing through like a signal. You know, it hits you, and in order to take it to the next step, you have to say, okay, I'm interested in that. I have to sort of note to self. You know, I don't write, so I don't read or write music, so I can't really write it down. I have to, you know, commit it some other way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can record it. And,
yeah.
I've spoken to other singer-songwriters about composing on the guitar as opposed to the piano, which leads to very different kinds of songs.
That's true, yeah. Well, the guitar is a more closed instrument, if you will. A piano, the keyboard is open. You find many more things on the piano probably than you do on the guitar.
When you go on a solo tour, do you still play some of the old Fleetwood Mac hits?
I do. You know, you try to put things in a context, you know. I mean, we're doing like 6 new songs. We're doing a nice representation of things from other solo albums. And, of course, you've got to throw in a few things that people are going to want to hear for sure.
Lindsey Buckingham, his latest album, already higher in the charts than you might have expected for a first week of release, 24, I think I said. Pretty good. It's called Seeds We Sow, and it's out on Mind Kit Records. And let's go out with something from the album. Thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me. Swear low.
come to bury us. Maybe then we'll tell the truth.